living now.
Today we're going to start a new series called All In. How many want to go all in? That's not good enough. How many want to go all in? There we go. I tell you what, we had a great commitment time at last service. So many people, I could see the presence of God just really was pulling at their hearts. And today there's something happening. I did a series not too long ago at the first part of this year. You remember me doing it for the first 3 months of the year, a series called Multiply. In that series of Multiply, I did a message called All In. It was in that message that so many of you responded to me, and it just struck a chord in your heart, in your spirit. It struck something. And so many of you said, Pastor, I was really challenged by that message. But I feel like I wanted to come back and expand on that this summer and do some more teaching on what it means to be all in, and hopefully continue to allow the Holy Spirit to stretch your life and to grow you. I believe in the scripture we see two types of people who were all in Scripture. The first type of people we've seen who were all in were people who were moved by desperation, whether it be the woman with the issue of blood that I talked about a few weeks ago, who had to press through the crowd, who had to go through 12 years of pain, suffering, of disappointment, to press through to get to Jesus for her healing. We talked about the leper who had to press through the rejection, the isolation, and to press to Jesus and to stretch his faith, to receive his healing. We see people who, the paralyzed man who had to be carried up upon the roof and had to be lowered down through the roof where Jesus was at. We see people who were desperate for change so much that they fought through every obstacle in their life to say, I've got to touch Jesus. I am tired of living where I'm at. And pain is a great thing because it can motivate us to make positive changes in our life. And sometimes we have emotional and spiritual pain, and sometimes we have physical pain, and they motivate us to make the right changes we need to make. And so changing because of desperation is not a bad thing, okay? I'm not here to condemn that, because that can be a way that God uses to motivate us to make some changes. When you're losing your family, you realize, I can't continue to live the way I'm living. I gotta change some things. I'm losing my marriage. I need to change some things. I'm losing my finances. I need to change some things. I'm living in pain. I need to change some things. Sometimes I'm tired of being empty. I'm tired of living my life without purpose. I'm so unfulfilled. I want something greater. And that desperation can push you to say, God, I don't care what it takes. I am pushing through my pain. I'm pushing through my fear. And I'm going to get my way and find my way to where the Lord's at and get there. And I've been there at times when I feel like I had to fight through, and it's like, I don't care what it takes. I'm going to touch the hem of his garment. I'm going to be in his presence. I'm going to find God. And sometimes it takes desperation. And other times in scripture, we see where it's not desperation that caused people to go all in. We see in other times in scripture where it was dedication, where their dedication to the Lord caused them to go all in. People such as Daniel, who faced the lion's den, quit praying or be put in the lion's den. We see the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember those guys? It wasn't out of desperation they were dedicated. It was out of their dedication. No matter what, I'm standing. Esther, it was out of her dedication. You know what? I'm standing before the Lord. I'm going to protect my people. I'm going to make the right thing. And so we see people who are all in, the disciples, Paul. We've seen so many people who were all in for God, some out of just their pure dedication for the Lord, some were motivated out of their desperation. But either way, I think there's a point in our life when God is asking us this question, are we all in? Ask your neighbor, say, are we all in? Are you all in? That's a good question. We all have to ask ourselves this question. So today I want to talk to you about how to be all in. Let's go right to our text, Luke chapter 10, verse 27. I love it when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest thing that we can do? The greatest commands to keep. And he simply gave it this outline right here. Jesus answered, love the Lord, the God with what? All your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength and with all your mind, and learn to love your neighbor as yourself. I think with these words, Jesus really helped us understand the definition of going all in. He just summarized it for us right here. You want to go all in for God, you want to go all in, then you learn to do this. This is how you serve God. How do you go all in? All your heart, all your soul, all your strength, with all your mind, and you learn to love. So the question becomes, as we ask ourselves this question, you got to ask your own self this question. Are you all in? We looked at this, you know, and I thought, how many remember that song growing up? I Surrender All. Remember that song, I Surrender All? How many sung that song, I Surrender All? Anybody sing that song? How's it go? I Surrender All, right? All to Jesus. I Surrender All. Pretty hard, right? We sing that. How many ever sung it like this? I surrender some. Did you ever sing it that way? No. Why? Because that's not the right way to sing it. We would never sing that. Oh, God, I worship you today. I surrender some. Hallelujah. I surrender some. No, we say, God, I surrender all. But yet, we wouldn't sing it that way, but how many of us live our life this way? Well, we only surrender departments of our life, partial parts of our heart, partial parts of our time, partial parts of our finances, partial parts of our dreams, partial parts of our lives. We're serving Him, but we haven't fully learned to go all in. And just as it's silly to sing the song that way, how much more is God wanting us to live our life that way? All in. I surrender everything. Look at this statement. Pretty blunt. God wants us to surrender all, not surrender some. Write that down. God wants us to surrender all, not surrender some. This is what He's wanting from you and I. What's next? I've been saved. I've been water baptized. What's next, Pastor? Well, now He wants you to surrender all. Well, I've given Him my life. I asked Him into my heart. I made Him Lord of my life. But have you surrendered all? What's the difference between walking in His grace and walking in right relationship with Him than it is to walk in full surrender of giving God everything? And it's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. I can tell you that. It can be a long process of learning. And it's not going to happen just because you wake up one day and go, oh, you know what? I was taking a shower today. I decided I'm giving it all to Jesus. It's just not going to accidentally happen. It's not going to just happen just because you come to church. It's going to happen when you make it intentional in your life to say, God, I'm going to learn what it means to live my life in full surrender, going all out, saying, I'm going all in. I'm going all in. I love that word, all in. We're going all in for God. Look what 2 Chronicles says in 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord range looking throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are what? Halfway committed to Him, right? No. Those hearts are what? Fully committed to Him. God is looking. It says God is looking. His eyes is looking for the hearts that are all in, fully committed to Him. And those He finds who are fully committed, He then strengthens. Wow. He is wanting to give out strength to those who are all in. The world will judge you by how you look. Isn't that correct? Come on. We all are guilty of this. We know that first impressions always come with how someone looks, right? We judge people on how they look first. The world does this and we do it and don't act like you're any different than anybody else. Now, the mature people learn to look beyond someone's looks, get to know them, their personality, and their character, their integrity, and then form an opinion based on everything they learned about the person and judge them according to how they are as a complete person. But first impressions mean a lot. And we judge people based off how they look at first impression. The world does this, right? We don't see, and they're all about the good looks, right? Come on now. That's why you take 50 selfies just trying to get one profile picture. Is there a skinny app for this? Let me get the skinny app. I mean, my cheeks a little, somebody like, I didn't know there's one of those. I'm getting it right now. You can take and make yourself a little bit thinner. You know, People Magazine, there's a reason why they sell, the 25 most beautiful people of 2015 or whatever it's going to be. You never see them coming out with a magazine that says, the 25 ugliest people in the world. It doesn't sell. There's a reason why, We can go to the people of Walmart.com for that one. We want to find that one out. Some of you are like, I didn't know that was actually a site. You're going to go there later and go, oh, that's what he was talking about. Just wear some clothes and you'll actually not be on that site. Anyway, what I'm saying is we judge people first impressions based on their looks. We vote our presidents based on height. We don't ever vote any short presidents. You ever notice that? Go back and look at the height of the presidents. We don't put short people in those executive offices. And so it's just something about we judge people by the outside. And that's the way the world is, and it's pretty natural. We got to realize God judges things differently. We're talking about the heart today. Okay, how to have a heart all in. God judges by the heart. Look what 1 Samuel 9:2 says. Remember King Saul? It said Kish had a son named Saul. Talking about the guy who later becomes King Saul. He was as handsome of a young man as could be found anywhere in Israel. He was a head taller than anyone else. He was tall, dark, and handsome. And, yeah, someone got hallelujah now. He was also chosen to be king, but there was something about Saul's heart that started off pure and he was all in. But later on, the power went to his head and he became a wicked in his heart, and his heart turned to God, and God removed his hand of blessing off King Saul's life and had to raise up David. Remember that? And so when God told Samuel to go to Jesse and said, hey, I'm one of his sons, I'm going to anoint the next king. Go out there and I'll tell you who he is when you get there. He made this instruction because, remember, King Saul, who was still king, he was the most handsome guy in all of Israel. And he was one of the tallest guys. So just by looking for the next king, you're like, well, who's the next tallest guy? This guy is the next. Look, his Instagram gets the most followers out of anybody else. He would be the perfect king. That's kind of how we judge things. But God doesn't move that way. God is moved by what's going on the inside of you, your heart. This is how God judges us. This is how we start going all in, by a heart change. And the proof is, 1 Samuel 16:7, this is what God told Samuel, don't consider the next king. Don't consider his appearance or his height. Man looks outward, appearance, but God looks what? At the heart. It doesn't mean God can't look you somebody who's good looking, but it's saying that's not God's first priority. His first priority and the most thing he is considering is what's going on the inside of you. Your heart. How is your heart? Why spend all your time trying to get the outside looking good if your heart is rotten? It does no good. Real change, real going all in. There's something going with our heart, learning to go all in with our heart. And this is how God judges. He made it very clear to Samuel. Later on, we see where Samuel goes. And remember, Jesse brings out all of his sons. And the best looking one, the oldest one, the one who made the highest score in the ACT, the most athletic one. Surely this is the one. This is the one. Nope, 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 nope. No, no, no. Sam was like, I'm confused, Jesse. God told me he was going to be one of your sons, but it's none of them. You sure you don't have a lost son somewhere we don't know about? Well, there's Dave. He's out taking care of the sheep. My youngest, he's the runt of the litter, and he's out there taking care of the sheep. Get him. Bring him in. And of course, when he comes in, he says that David had a different heart. That God judged David not on his outward, but on his heart. See, there was something about David's heart that he was willing to serve his father. Take care of the sheep for long hours, taking care, honoring his dad. There was something about taking care of those stinking sheep. There was something about giving his life against the lion and the bear. There was something about out on the backside of the desert that he took the stones and he learned to be skillful with the slingshot that he had. Something about taking the harp and learning to be skillful and to worship in the Lord on the backside of the desert. Just him and the sheep singing to the Lord. There was something that moved God, that when God saw David, there was something different about his heart. It wasn't about his height or his appearance. It was the heart of David that moved God. It's to go all in. There's something about our heart that's got to be different. But how do you measure a heart? That's a good question, isn't it? How do you measure a heart? We can go get a heart monitor hooked up to us, and we can find out how our heart's beating. We can do tests at the doctor and tell us how strong our heart is. But how do we spiritually know, engage? How do we do a spiritual AKG in this place today? I find out the condition of our heart. I believe Scripture can give us some ideas, and I want to give a few out to you today. How we gauge whether or not our heart is all in. Number one, you're all in when you have an all-out love for His Word. An all-out love for His Word. Psalms 119, 47 through 40. Look what David says. How I delight in your word. I honor and love your commands. I meditate on your principles. See, there's something about David's heart. Scripture said there was something about David's heart that moved God. And we see David writing this. How I delight, I love your word. I honor and love your commands. I meditate on the principles. Let me tell you this. There's people that I've met that are like, oh, Pastor, I love the worship. I love coming to Destiny. I love the worship. I love being in the presence of God. Why can't we just worship all day long? But when you or Pastor TJ or Pastor Justin or one of the other pastors bring the word, you know, I just kind of check out. I have a hard time staying engaged. Listen, if you're all in, you'll learn to have a love for the word of the Lord. And it doesn't really connect with me. Well, you haven't connected with Him. Because when you have an all-in heart, it loves the word of the Lord. I'm not talking about respects it. I said loves it. There's a difference. There's a difference. You want to love hearing the word of the Lord. You want to love receiving the word of the Lord. We're called to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We worship Him this morning. Our spirits are engaging God, singing songs of praise, singing songs of worship. Our spirits engaging. And now how do we, He says, my word is truth. Now we're opening up the word of the Lord and we're worshiping now through saying, God, I love your word. I want to hear your word today. It should be one of the highlights of your week, thinking, man, God, I want to hear the word of the Lord. And I hope and pray that you would have a love for the Word. I've met Christians who spend more time debating what's right and wrong about the Word of the Lord. And I'm like, you're missing it altogether. I can tell you, if you are all worried about what's right, what's wrong, and you know what's relevant for me today, and what trying to find Scripture that cancels out other Scripture so that you don't have to live a certain way, You've lost the meaning, okay? You've lost the words. You've lost the love for the word. I hope that we get to the place, and it should be, that we can learn to say, God, every day I want to take some time and read your word. I'm not saying you don't love God's word if you don't read it every day, because that's not what I'm trying to say. But what I'm saying is this, you should desire to want to read it every day, and you should desire to hear the word of the Lord and say, when it comes forth, man, I love receiving instruction. I love hearing about the blessing. I love hearing about the discipline. I love hearing about the blessing. I love hearing about things the Scripture has to say in my life. It changes me. I love hearing it. You should have a love. All in people, love the word of the Lord. All them people love hearing it, love reading it, love being a part of anything the word of the Lord is about. John 14:15, David said, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commands. It's the love that says, God, I want to read you. This book is not motivated by law. This book is motivated by love. And when you understand that, it changes the way you comprehend and see the Bible. You ever read a book that people said, man, you got to read this book. You got to read, it's like the best book. It'll change your life. And only to pick that book up and to read it, and you're like, I don't get the big deal of this book. This book is boring. Anybody else had that experience? I have it all the time. Anybody else have that experience? Tells you how shallow I am. Okay, I'm the only one. Anyway, I remember in Bible college, it was that way. Guys like, oh, man, you got to read this book. It'll change your life, man. I'm reading it. I'm like, I can't even stay awake. Read this book. And later on, maybe years had passed, and I'd be in a conference, and that author would be there speaking and maybe sharing their personal testimony. And that author would be sharing insight about their life, or I see a video about it or something that had happened. And I would get some insight and hear more about them and have a better understanding. I'm like, man, I really enjoyed hearing them talk. I really enjoyed their testimony. I really enjoyed hearing about their life. And now I have a different understanding. And I would go back later and read their books. I'm like, oh, now I get it. Now I'm understanding. I really love it. I'm receiving what they're saying because now I've had insight into their story, their life. You know, there was a newscaster in town. I won't mention his name because if I did, most of you here would know this person's name. This person was a newscaster here locally for many years. And when I was in college, I was waiting tables. And this person came in with a colleague. And I knew who they were, recognized them right away. And I waited on them the best I could. And I served them right up. I was all proud. I was serving a local celebrity, the news anchor, you know. And I was giving them everything, refills like left and right. And I brought them everything they needed. Gave them top-notch service. And when they walked out without leaving me a dime for a tip. Everybody say, ooh. Don't do that, please, okay? And so I was just really, like, so appalled. I was like, number one, it's bad enough to do that to a waiter or a waitress. It's bad enough to stiff them, not leave them a tip. But the second thing was, I was like, this is a public figure whose whole reputation is on PR, you know, and they're on TV every night. And, you know, and everybody knows who they are. So you're not going to know that, you know. I was like, how? Leave, not leave a tip? And so from then on, every time this person would come on the news on that channel, I would say, turn it! See, a true story. For several years, I wouldn't allow that newscast to come on in our home. Even if I had kids, I was growing and married. Don't play that newscaster in my, why? Because I could not receive anything that person had to say because I already had a formulation about who they, what kind of character they were. Are you following me? You see, when you understand somebody's life, you can better understand their message. So, the more I understand God's grace in my life, the more I understand how much love He's really given me, when I understand how big His grace is. That's why we spend many, many weeks teaching. I've done it several times here at Destiny, talking about the grace of God in our life. Because when I understand how big God's grace, it causes me to fall in love with every word He has to say. I see it differently. This is not a condemning word. It's a love word. It's a love letters to me. It's instructions on how I can get better. It's instructions on how much He loves me. It's instructions on how much grace He's given me in my life, where He's brought me from, where He's taking us, where we're going. The more I have a full comprehension of God's grace, the more I fall in love with His word, His love letters. I had an author that I didn't really care for a lot when I first started reading this stuff. His name was John Bevere, but then later on in my life, I had a chance to spend a whole day with John Bevere, and I got a chance to take him around, and I was hosting him for an event, took him to dinner, and I spent, and I just loved his spirit
and hearing him talk one-on-one. And we talked, and I just remember hearing him, and I thought then, for this guy to have such success worldwide, he was so humble and one of the most humble guys I'd ever met, and talking to him. And so then on, when I started reading this material, I just had a different perspective for everything he said. And I was getting so much more because I understood who he was. And so the more I'm understanding who God is, the more I fall in love with his word. Are you following me here? The more you fall in love with God, the more you fall in love with his word and want to learn about it. You want to read about it. You want to have a better understanding. You want to read it over and over and over again. Like getting the love letters for the first time, and you go through every love letter or every text, every private message, you go back and you read between the lines. You want to know how much they love you, and you want to understand every little thing. This is the same passion we should have for God's Word. It changes us. All in hearts have a love for God's Word. All in hearts also. They're all about serving others. They're all about serving others. I was talking to a man before church today in the first service, and him and some of the particular seniors were sitting in a particular section. I was back here talking before church started, and they were joking around. So, Pastor, we were just talking about, we're all about the same age, and we're getting up here. And if we all decide to kick the bucket about the same time, he goes, you're going to have a big section here to fill up. We laughed, and I said, I may go before you guys go. You guys are probably going to live a lot. Outlive me the way you guys are going. You know, and the question today is this. It's not about how much time do you have left. The question I have for you today is this. What will you do with the time that you have left? What will you do with the rest of the time you've been given left? None of us are guaranteed tomorrow, and none of us know what that looks like. But what will you do with the time God has given to you now? What will God expect of me now? What will I do that will make an eternal difference? And I tell you, the one thing that will make a difference will be learning to give your life away, serving others. It will make more of a difference than anything you'll ever do in your life. Serving other people, giving your life away. All in hearts are all about serving others. Acts 13:36 said David served God's purpose in his generation. That's what I want people to say about me. Yeah, Pastor Gene, he served God's purpose in his generation. You know, as I raised my children, all five of them, it's not an easy thing to raise children in today's world, is it? As a Christian, where do you find the balance of, you know, letting them spread their wings and fly and be independent, yet raising them up in the house of the Lord? And obviously, they got to make their own decisions to be a Christ follower. You can't make that for them. They got to make that decision. And I would say there's no secret formula for that. But I will tell you this, that one of the things I always prayed about was, God, I don't care how many people we reach. I don't care how big the church ever gets. I just want my children to love the Lord and to serve you all the days of their life. I made it that point, made it very clear. If I ever thought I would lose my children to the ministry, I would walk away from ministry because my children were that important. I wanted to make sure my children were serving the Lord and do everything I could to help them in that process. And as I look back, I see where every one of my children, the growth that happened between them and the Lord happened when they were serving and are serving. And every one of them are serving in ministries here in the church. You know how many of my kids I've asked to serve in the ministry here? Zero. But they've done it on their own. They've gotten plugged in to the ministry on their own. And now they have a passion for God. They have a passion for the church. They have a passion to serve God. And it's come because they are just serving. That's what's happened. Out of that. So I would tell you, parents, you want to kind of up your chances of your kids continuing to serve the Lord when they get older. Get them involved in serving. Get them involved in the ministries of the church. Get them serving. And you serve. Lead by example. You do that. Serve. Get involved. All in means you are serving. And if you're not serving, you're not all in. Ooh, that's kind of hard, isn't it? I'm just going to tell you the truth. If you're not serving, you're not completely all in. Because God has designed every one of us to serve. Pastor, I would, but man, I'm at a spiritual place in my life where I just need to be fed. Need to be kind of healed. And I understand that. Sometimes we go through seasons where we need God to kind of refill our tank back up. Maybe we've gone through a difficult season. I got to set through service, but let me tell you something. This is the beauty about coming to Destiny. Is you can serve a service and attend the service anytime you want to. You guys are being awful quiet this morning. I must be preaching to somebody. You can attend the service and, you know, you can work a service and attend the second service, or vice versa. Attend the first service and volunteer for the second service, and you don't have to do it about once every other month because we've got so many people volunteering. Or you can come down during the week and you can clean up on the clean team, or you can take meals to shut-ins to the hospital, or you can come and greet, or you can serve in our children's ministries and in our elementary ministries, our youth ministries. You can, young adults, you can get involved in the life groups and serve. There's areas to serve in our outreach. So many places that we can get involved. Really had no excuses. The point is, are we going to go all in? See, all in people, they love God's word. They learn. Serve. Learn to serve. Yeah, learn to serve. See, because if someone hadn't gone all in, we wouldn't be here today. See, I was thinking about this earlier today. I called Pastor Jeremiah and Cassie, who are now teaching their service. I had them stand up. I was thinking about the 7 families who met with me in the basement when I didn't have anything. Didn't even know where we was going to meet at. We were just meeting in the basement having Bible study. And they said, we'll go all in with you. Ted and Tracy Daniel in the back, why don't you guys stand up back there? Mike and Tanya Scott, why don't you guys stand up? Pastor Jeremiah and Cassie. Pastor Carlos and Susan, who are away for their anniversary. Pastor Matt and Crystal, who we've now planted in Rogers, Arkansas. And these people, before we had anything at all, not even a place to meet, said, we're all in. Give them a hand clap. They're here today because of them. And when we decided we're going to meet at the Holiday Inn and started meeting in the rooms there, they came at 7 o'clock in the morning carrying in equipment and stages and set up. And when other people went to lunch, they stayed after and tore everything down and put it back where it needs to go. I mean, we did that for over a year every Sunday, 7 o'clock in the morning to 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm like, God, please don't let them leave me because I don't know what I'm going to do. How many here today came during the time we were at the Holiday? Anybody here attend the church here, started coming to Destiny during the time at the Holiday Inn? Stand on your feet if you did. I want to honor you today. Yeah. These people came to Destiny Church the time we were at the Holiday Inn. Give me a hand. But see, these people were all in, or we wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't have 2 services packed and 3 services packed when we do 3 services. And listen, I'm telling you something, we're going to go somewhere and we're going to the next level, and God's preparing us. But we're only going to go if we all are all in, okay? We're not going halfway. God's got a vision for us at Destiny. God's got a vision for our church. God's got a vision for this area that he's wanting to use us in, but it's going to come when we say we're all in. This vision God's given is bigger than me. It's bigger than you. That's why it's vision. God is causing us to dream big, but it's only going to happen when we go all in. We're only as strong as our weakest link. And today, I need you to be all in and say, God, whatever you want to do in my life, I love you. I love your word. My heart loves your word. I love serving, and I love being a giving person, which is the last point as we close today. It's all about a giving heart. See, a heart that's all in is all about a giving heart. Deuteronomy 15:10. God's to give freely and spontaneously. Don't have a stingy heart. I've been there before. How about you? She said, don't have a stingy heart. The way you handle matters like this triggers God's blessing in everything you do, in all your work and all your ventures. Now, listen, I'm not talking about blessing prosperity. That's not what we're talking about.
We're talking about his overall blessing in our life, walking in the favor of the Lord. He says, your heart will really trigger how much God blesses you and how he blesses you. It triggers a heart all in. I love your word. I love your commands. I learn to love your commands. I learn to love your principles. I meditate on them. I want to hear your word. I want to understand it better. I want to serve. Whatever you want to do in my life, God said, yes, I want to serve your bride. I want to hook up to the local church. I want to get in. I want to give. I want to give out. I want to give beyond myself. I want to learn to be a generous person. For God so loved the world that he what? God so loved the world that he gave. It's at the very heart of God. He gave his very best. All in people say, God, I give you anything you want in my life. All of my time, all of my talent, all of my treasure. Anything you ask me, it's yours, God. It belongs to you. I'm an all-in person. We got to work at breaking through a stingy heart and saying, God, I want to be an all-in person. Now, many of you here, you've broken through different areas in your life at times. The different parts I'm talking about today, you've broken through at different times. But today, I'm here to challenge you. As we talk about this summer, about being a summer of going all-in, starts right here, okay? Starts right here. It's the heart. It starts with the heart. How do we measure our heart? We can measure it. Pretty easy. Do you really love his words? Are you serving other people? Are you learning to be a person who gives? We gauge our heart that way. This message is not to make anybody feel condemned today, but it's to challenge you to say, you know what? Yeah, that makes sense, Pastor. I want to learn to go all in. I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet today. How many today would just simply look at me and say, Pastor, this summer, I'm declaring that I'm making it a summer for my life. I'm going all in. Nobody here said, I'm going all in? Yeah. Some of you have been stuck in a place for a long time. God's ready to take you deeper. He's ready to take you at a deeper level. He's ready to challenge you. He's challenging you. You're going to serve like you've never served before. You're going to give like you've never given before. You're going to love his word like you've never loved before. It starts right here at the heart. It starts with the heart. It starts with the heart. That's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to invite those who want to join me around the front and say, I'm stepping out saying I'm coming all in. I want you to join me around the front today as we close. This is a symbolic of getting out of your seat and saying, yeah, I'm stepping into this, Pastor. I'm stepping into this season of all in. If you want to join me to the front, I would love to have you. We'd love to have you come to the front saying, I'm stepping out all in. Last service, we had a tremendous response. At the service, this is no different. You guys are coming in. Squeeze into the front. We're not going to do anything freaky or anything strange. We're just simply walking to the front saying, God, I'm stepping in to your will. I'm stepping out of my seat saying I'm going all in. Step into the front, guys. Move into the front as much as you can. Squeeze in. Make room for those coming in. If you got to go down the aisles, that's okay. Are you ready? Are you ready? Put your hand on your heart. Say it starts with the heart. It starts with my heart, God. Make sure my heart is right. Make sure my heart is right. God, look at my heart. May your eyes find my heart and say, yeah, it's a heart after God. It's a heart all in. Let's give him everything. Let's make it personal as we sing this song. Make it personal today. God, I'm learning to give you everything.
With that, we will shout for your glory. With that, we will shout.
Let's make it personal this morning. Tell God, with everything, I give you everything. Come on, let's go all in for Jesus. With our hearts, our minds, our souls. God, we give you everything now. If you're ready to give God everything, I want you to lift up your hands in this place. And tell God, we're going all in for you. That means our minds, our bodies, our talents, our gifts. Everything, Lord, we want to give it to you today, Jesus. We push past our feelings. We push push past and not having time, God, but we go all in for you. Come on, let's build it up with everything. Everybody lift your hands with everything. Come on, tell them.
With everything.
We'll shout for your glory.
Shout for your glory.
One more time. With everything. With everything, God. We'll shout for your praise.
Shout for your praise.
Now come on, let's praise God. Come on, let's give him a shout of praise.
Hallelujah. Can I ask you just to join me today? Can I ask you just to join me today and raise your hands? I want to pray for you before you leave today. Can we do that? Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray over every person here that God, from the inside out, God, that you would allow us to change and go all in. And God, I pray today that, Father, you are taking us, God, to a new season of all in. And I pray today that, God, you would take us to a point of all in. And God, I pray right now that, God, we would learn to give you our whole heart. That, God, it starts from the inside out. I pray our heart would change. That your eyes would see our heart. And you would see us and take us. God, I pray that your spirit right now would take our whole heart, taking us to a deeper level. We would go all in together. And God, we're saying, whatever that looks like, God, we don't even know. But we just want to go all in for you. Hold nothing back. And it starts with our heart today. We say we give you all of our heart, God. Everything. Learn to surrender all to you. I believe this summer will be a summer, God, when we look back and say, God, that was a summer I gave it all. That was a summer I surrendered it all. That was a summer that I went to a deeper level. This is a summer. So now I begin to see things differently. I begin to act differently. God did something inside of me that changed this summer. And God, I pray that your spirit would lead us, take us into a new dimension, God. Dimension of all in. And we say together, amen. If you receive that word today and believe that, put your hands together and clap over that. Turn to your neighbor, give him a big high five and say, I'm all in. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for being here. You guys have a great, great afternoon.